Good morning. Good to have everyone with us this morning. I want to talk about suffering this morning, when Christians suffer. The text is going to be 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. I know I've brought this message before, but I think that we need to hear it once in a while. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 19. Peter writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Father, again, I thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that we may be comforted and encouraged today from this message that you have given us, and to always know and understand that there's always reasons for suffering, even when we don't understand it, but it can all be for your glory. And I pray that everything said in this service this morning, everything prayer offered, every song that we have sang, will be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Most all of us have suffered at least one time in our lives. Some of us have suffered more. Some people have suffered so much that they tend to ask God why. I've talked to people over the years, different people, and that's one reason some cite to me that they refuse to believe in my God or follow my God, and they question, you know, how can you call him a good God when there's so much suffering in this world? And I like to tell them that the world God created and the first man and woman he created were perfect. There was no suffering in the world. There was no death. There was no sin. It entered in because of what man did, man and woman did. So you can't really lay that at God's feet. One time a young man came to me. I'd got to know him, and he let me know right off the bat that he thought I was stupid for believing in the Lord. Those were his words. And he said, "I'm an atheist." I said, "God doesn't believe in atheists." And he just stopped in his tracks for a minute and just had the most confused look on his face. I said, "How do you like it? You know, you want to say you don't believe in God. I told you God doesn't believe in you." But he talked about that. All the sin, all the evil. He didn't say sin because he didn't believe in sin. But he said, all that's wrong in the world, how can you believe in a good God? And I told him, God didn't create this. People brought this into the world. People like you and people like me. I said, we're at fault for this, not God. But can God use suffering? Yes. If you remember the book of Hebrews, the writer said, even though he was a son, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. And I very often have said to God, I wish there was another way you could teach. You know, does it have to be suffering? I remember an elder in one church I was in, we was at a Bible study, and I hadn't been a Christian very long, And he said, he who hates the rod spoils his son. And I said, boy, my mama and daddy loved me then, because they weren't rod sparers. But when we look at suffering sometimes in the Christian's life, we find out in the scriptures, God does that for our good. Now there's suffering that happens that God's not doing. That's what I want to talk about today in this text. There's different reasons that we suffer. Peter said, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But isn't that our natural response? Why me? Why has this got to happen to me? One thing I've learned over the years is not to ask what else is going to happen, because that's just inviting trouble. Seems like when I shoot my mouth off like that, something else can happen. And then I feel like, okay, you shouldn't even said that. But Peter said we shouldn't think it strange. Now there are some that believe that salvation means no more trials. You hear it preached on TV. If you like to listen to some of these New Age gurus that are preaching on the networks, you know, you come to Christ, it's all good. If you do have a bad time, you make a positive confession against what's going on, and God will bend over backwards to make sure that you're going to get out of that. How many of you know that's not scriptural? You can positively confess things, and it doesn't change things. What should we be positive about? Our attitude towards our Father. We ought to have the attitude that I know that in all things you work for the good of those who you love. I wish this said in all good things you work for those you love, but it doesn't. It says in all things. And it's normal for us when we're suffering, it is normal for us to say, why? Why has this happened to me? Many of you have lost loved ones, people who's very close to. Some of you have lost children. I hope I never do that. I don't want any of my children to go before I do. But one thing I know, that if they do, God's still a loving God. God's still in control. And it's not happening because God wants to get at me. See what I'm saying? Jesus told us, Brother Greg was talking this morning at the table about before he went to the cross. Jesus told us before he went to the cross, you will suffer in this world. But he said, be of good cheer, I overcame the world. This world isn't it. This world that you and I are in, I'm not talking Hinduism saying it's a shadow or it's not reality, but I'm saying it's not it. One day this world will burn and the universe around it. What do we look for? Peter said, a new heavens and a new earth. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more separation. And God said, if there are any tears, he personally would wipe them from our eyes. Praise God. That means if I get into heaven and I tear up, the Heavenly Father is going to come over and dry my tears. He's going to say, don't cry, son. I'm right here. I can't see him yet. I've never seen Jesus. I've heard people lately claim they have, and I really don't believe them. But, you know, I haven't seen him yet, but I believe in him. I believe he's as real as you are. I don't have to see him. I believe in him. But the sufferings that we experience are very real. We experience them. We feel the pain. We feel the anguish. We feel the grief and the sadness and the frustration and the confusion and the depression, everything that goes with it. And none of us like feeling that way. And it's not wrong, but in the human equation, we always want to ask why. Why is this going on? I worked for a woman and her husband one time. They raised feeder pigs, and I would build pens for them, and I built a lean-to on their barn where their sows could pig. You know, I did a lot of stuff. And we were out there working one day, and it started raining. I mean, a thunderstorm. And she shook her fist at the sky and said, "God, why are you doing this to me?" And I stepped away in case the lightning struck, because I didn't want to get hit. You know, I thought, I don't think I'm going to shout at God like that. But don't we have that attitude sometimes? The Apostle Paul said, those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I know you get tired of me saying this, but I'm going to say it till the day the Lord calls me home. It appalls me what I see so many churches in my country doing, creating this what they call a seeker-friendly service. We don't want people angry. We don't want to get people offended. We don't want to talk about repentance. We don't want to talk about the blood of the cross, the bloody sacrifice. I've heard Christianity referred to as a slaughterhouse religion. It's bloody. Everything's about blood. Well, Paul said, if you're going to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Church, if we preach and teach and live the truth, understand we will be persecuted. You cannot avoid that. It's going to happen. So let's stop worrying about offending people or making them angry or hurting their feelings, and let's speak the truth in love. Yeah, there is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is right. There is wrong. There will be judgment and reward. That's what the Lord promises us. And the world needs to hear that. You know what they really need to hear? There's forgiveness and a new life in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be bound by the life you live now. Jesus Christ can make all things new. That's the good news. I told you when I was baptized by that minister at Bryant Creek, when we come out of the water, he said, "I know you think things are going to be easy now." But he said, "You just hung a target around your neck. And the devil's going to be shooting at it." He said, "I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just telling you it's coming." And boy, he was right. Christians suffer trials because of the power of Satan. Now, not all trials are satanic. I've been on the other side in some churches that everything bad happens, that's the devil. You know, a woman can't get her hair laid down, that's a spirit of bad hair. That's the devil doing that. You know, I'll rebuke the devil so my hair will lay down. They get ridiculous. And sometimes we have trouble as Christians trying to sort out, is this Satan attacking me? And many times the answer is yes. You remember Job? Job was a godly man. God was pleased with Job. Satan came before God, and God bragged on Job. I hope God could brag on me once in a while. But he said, "Have you considered Job a godly man? He hates evil. He loves what's right. He does what's good." Don't you know that just went all over the devil? I don't want to hear about Job. Then what's Satan say? "Put your hand against him and he'll curse you." So see, sometimes attacks do come from the devil. Now I believe he has to get God's permission. I might be wrong. But if you read the book of Job, God put limits on what he was allowing him to do. He said, "All right, you can touch him, but don't you touch his life. You can touch his health, but don't touch his life." And the scriptures tell us that I believe that God does the same way with us. He will not allow more to be put on us than we can handle. And he will provide a way out. Now, talking about temptation, but I'm talking about trials. God will provide the strength for us to go through it. I read one time where Mother Teresa said, sometimes I wish he didn't trust me so much. When he lets things come upon me that he knows I can handle, I wish he didn't trust me this much. I'm sure we've all felt like that at times in our lives. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Sometimes they're schemes. Sometimes they're tests. He cannot get at you. He can't take your life, or we'd all be dead. All Christians would be dead if he had the power to take our lives arbitrarily. But he schemes against us. Do you understand that? He plots. When he tempted our Lord in the book of Luke, it said when he was done, Satan left till a more opportune time. He didn't throw his hands up and say, well, I lost this. There's no point in trying anymore. He said, I'll be back. And Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, I read that one day, and it hit me in the context of it. Paul said, we're in a fight. Whether you want to be or not, you become a Christian, you're going to fight. Make Satan mad when we leave his territory. The Bible says that God pulls us out of the kingdom of darkness. The Greek says uproots us, and he transplants us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You know, the devil doesn't like that one bit. And when we make that commitment to Christ, what's Satan say? I'll get you. I know your weaknesses. You better hang on. What Paul said, we got to put on that armor that's been supplied by Jesus Christ. And one of my favorite parts of that text is when he says, having done everything to stand, stand firm. You can't get any plainer than that. Paul said, set your feet solid and stand. He said, we wrestle, we fight with principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in the high places. Sometimes, honestly, I think we forget there's a devil. I've seen it go too far the other way, as I said. People think anything bad's of the devil. It's all the devil. Well, not all the time. But we forget about the devil. I've heard that some churches don't even believe in the devil anymore. They don't believe in demons. They don't talk about them. Well, if I was your enemy, that would tickle me pink. If you never talked about me or thought about me, because boy, that'd give me a lot more room to come after you. I'd be able to sneak in on you a lot easier if you didn't believe in me. Paul reminded us that we don't fight against people. Hey, Paul, you didn't go to the church I went to. We fought among ourselves all the time. But he said, yeah, but they're not your enemy. It's the devil. Why is Satan so afraid and opposed to unity in the body of Christ? Because there's strength in unity. Yeah. When you and I stand together and we pray together and we love on one another, Satan can't stand that. So he's going to try to get in there and drive wedges, cause dissension. He doesn't want us to be unified. Peter said he's like a lion, and if you've ever watched nature shows, I like watching them, except they talk about evolution so much it makes you want to gag. But if you watch a lion, they will watch a herd of animals. They don't generally jump in on top of a herd. They will single out the sick and the weak, the stragglers. And a lion will watch, usually the lioness, she does the hunting and the lion eats. So pretty good arrangement as far as I'm concerned. But they will watch the animal, and they will catch the straggler, the loner, the sick. And that's the one they attack. Satan works the same way. Boy, if he can get you to quit coming to church, if he can get you out of fellowship, whoo. that makes you a lot more vulnerable. You don't have the support. You don't have the prayers. If he can get you to stop reading the word, if he can get you to stop praying. Now, he can't make you do it. When I say get you to do it, that's my hillbilly. But I mean, if he can encourage you not to read the word, not to pray. Well, I'm too busy. I'll pray tomorrow. Well, I would read the Bible now, but the Beverly Hillbillies are on, and I really want to watch the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, I love the Beverly Hillbillies. Then we start becoming weak. We start becoming vulnerable. So sometimes, Christian, when we face trials, you can understand it is your enemy. He comes against us like a flood. But God said, I raise a standard against him. Now, I'm not into this positive confession stuff, but I'm into the word. And when the Satan comes at you, you repel him with the word of God, just like the Lord did when he was being tempted. So sometimes, Christians, we suffer because our enemy's causing us to suffer. Satan attacked Jesus, did he not? Yeah, he's going to attack us. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first. If you are of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know who Satan's called in the scriptures? The God of this world. I think it'd be so cool, in my opinion, if when you got saved, God would just go, whoosh, got you. I'm going to bring you home. But he doesn't. He leaves us right smack in the middle of enemy territory. Why? So we can be salt and light. So we can lead others to Jesus Christ. We can give them a chance to find that life that we found in him, the joy that we find in him. Jesus said the road to heaven is straight and narrow. And one commentary, the Greek I read, said, he said it's compressed by pressure. Very few walk it. That was his words, not mine. Because it's difficult, because it's narrow, very few people choose to walk that road. What do you say about destruction? It's wide. It's easy. A lot of people walk it. Now, am I saying that Christians suffer more than non-Christians? No. I'm not trying to imply that. There are a lot of non-Christians who suffer immensely. But I'm saying that as a Christian, I guarantee your suffering will increase. Because now you have the world against you. You have the God of this world against you. He attacked our Lord. He's going to attack us. When we look through the history of the scriptures, there were people that he attacked. Job's one of them. Jesus said he came to kill, to steal, and destroy. I came so you could have life to the abundance. That doesn't mean a two-car garage with a Mercedes in both stalls. That's talking about spiritual life. I didn't know what life was till I met Jesus Christ. I didn't know what love was till I met Jesus Christ. I didn't know what peace was till I met him. I used to think peace was in past blue ribbon and sense of meal and pills, but there wasn't any peace in that. The end of it would be death. And I was heading that way. I remember a doctor told me one time, you're 23, but your liver's 60. He said, if you don't stop this, you're going to die. I said, oh, what do you know? You just went to school for 12 years. You know, That's just your opinion. But I was trying to fill that hole in my life with these things. And you know what? Nothing fills that hole except Jesus Christ. But it doesn't come without a price. Jesus himself told us that. It'd be great if the Lord would say, you come follow me, you'll never have a bit of problem the rest of your life. Everything will go good. You'll always have money in the bank. You'll never be sick. Your kids will behave. You know, you'll never have to worry about your grandchildren, about their safety. But he doesn't say that. What does he say? I'll never leave you. You ever have days that you're going through terrible things and you say, God, where are you? Not most of us won't admit that out loud. I remember one day in my Christian walk, I walked out on my front porch and shook my fist at God and said, I'm so mad at you right now, I don't even want to talk to you. And I think he said, well, you're talking. Did I quit loving him? No. I'm glad he's understanding, or I'd have been a little pile of ash with two eyeballs sticking out of it. He understands our suffering. The Bible says, since you and I are flesh and blood, he partook of the same. Jesus Christ didn't come to save angels. Jehovah's Witnesses are liars. Jesus was not an angel who became a man. Joseph Smith is a liar. Jesus and Lucifer were not created brothers. Jesus is God the Word, who was God in eternity past. He's God now, and he'll be God throughout eternity. And God became flesh and blood because he wanted to save you and I. And he suffered. Jesus knew hunger. He knew thirst. And we certainly know he knew what pain was about. He died that agonizing death on the cross. Very torturous death. He knew pain. He knew rejection. He knew what it was like to have people he loved turn their backs on him. He knew what it felt like to be misunderstood, to be ostracized by those he loved. But as Greg said this morning, he kept right on going. He didn't let it stop him. He didn't let it deviate. He didn't get sidetracked. Isaiah said he set his forehead like flint to go to the cross. Church, we got to set our foreheads like flint to get to heaven, to get through this life. We need to bear up under our sufferings. Now, Jesus warned us there would be suffering. The apostles warned us there would be suffering. So sometimes the enemy attacks. But if we're honest, we got to admit that sometimes our suffering are stupid choices that we make. Stupid decisions. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do this. And you might have family members, church members, and the Spirit of God himself saying, you don't want to do that. Don't do it. Don't go that way. My dad once told me, out of all six of his kids, he said, you was the one that had learned everything the hard way. He said, when I told you not to do something, I knew you were going to do it. He was right. When I look back, all the whippings I got could have been avoided if I'd have just obeyed him, but you know, he'd say, now don't do that or you're going to get a whipping. I'd do it. Then I'd get a whipping. And we think we can treat God differently? Sometimes, Christians, we suffer for things that we do. We do. Peter said, don't let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Wow. God put that right up there with murderers, thieves, and evildoers. Gossips, meddlers, people sticking their nose in other people's lives. Meddling. Peter said, don't want to suffer as that. So Christians can suffer as a result of backsliding. We talked about that. And of God's chastening. I agree with the Apostle Paul. He said, no chastening seems pleasant at the time. I never looking back, I never once said to my dad when he had that belt in his hand, I thank you, Father, for this that I'm about to receive. But I can look back on it now and say, thank you, Dad, that you love me enough that you taught me right from wrong. You taught me there were consequences to my actions. There's a lot of kids today, they claim, are ADD and ADHD and all this other DD. You know what they are? They're just needing a little bit of a switching once in a while to show them you are not in charge. The universe doesn't center around you. Now, that's my opinion. I'm not talking about beating a kid. But there ain't nothing wrong with a good old-fashioned warming the seat of their britches when they need it. I see children today mouth off to their parents. I did that one time. My mother said, come help me do this. And I said, no, I'm watching Captain Kangaroo. And she said, what did you say? I'm on my way. I was a bed-making fool. Pretty soon mom was going, Rick, let go of the sheet. I'm done. I'm not letting go of this sheet. You told me to hold this corner of the sheet. I'm holding this corner of the sheet. Did that harm me? Did I grow up warped because of it? No. Do you know that God disciplines you and I for the same reasons? Paul said when he chastises us, here's his mercy. It's because he doesn't want to judge us with the world. And if he doesn't chastise you, Paul said it proves you're not a Christian. You're not his child. Because he disciplines every child who he receives. Disciplines from God. Chastisements from God. God wrote the book. God told us if your children aren't listening to you, discipline them. Dad told me, children are like slab-sided mules. You got to get their attention before you can talk to them. And I remember getting a whipping and he'd set me in an oak chair and say, now that I got your attention, I want to talk to you. Oh, I was all ears then. I didn't need an interpreter. I could hear him fine. I've had some people say, oh, your parents must have been abusive. No, my parents loved me. They didn't beat me like a dog, but when I needed it, I got a whipping. And you know what I found out in 34 years? My God loves me enough that when I need it, I get a whipping. There are times I literally felt like the Holy Spirit gets me by the ear and drags me out behind that old barn and says, you're going to get a whipping. What'd you do that for? You knew better than that. But it's because he loves you. He loves me. He doesn't want us thinking we get away with anything. Is God holy? Is his people called to be holy? Is his people? Are his people called to be holy? Amen. Are his people prone to stray? Whew, I didn't get an amen out of that. Yes, we're prone to stray. You know, David in the Psalms, he said to the Lord, your rod and your staff comfort me. The staff the shepherd would use, you know, you've seen him had that hooked in. If a sheep would start straying, he'd reach out and hook that sheep and pull it back in. But if he had to keep doing that, he would take that rod that he used to defend them against predators and he would break one of them sheep's legs. And then he would splint it up and he would carry the sheep. And I had read that when that leg healed, the shepherd would care for the sheep with the broken leg. When the leg healed, that was probably one of the most loyal sheep he had in the herd. It didn't wander anymore. Or if it started off too, all the shepherd had to do is whistle at it and say, here I am. I'm glad I serve a God like it. David said that the bones you have crushed may rejoice. David understood, God, you just broke my leg, but I rejoice. If God didn't love us, he wouldn't care. He'd let us have our own way. If your parents don't love you, they don't care. I remember guys in school with, we went out one night, my dad said, you be home at 10:30. And I was mumbling, because we had meanness in mind, and it took longer than 10:30 to get it all done and get home. And he looked at me and said, Rick, I wish my dad would do that. He said, my dad doesn't care when I come home. He said, I can come in at daylight, and my dad won't even ask me where I've been. He said, man, your dad cares. I thought, well, he's just a totalitarian dictator. You know, that's why he told me only. Otherwise, he'd let me do what I wanted. But no, he did it because he loved me. God disciplines his kids because he loves them. So sometimes, Christians, we suffer trials because we bring them upon ourselves. What's the scripture say? A man's own ways leads to destruction. And yet his heart rages against who? The Lord. We want to turn around and blame God. And God can honestly say, I didn't have anything to do with that. You're the one that made that decision. Praise God. I have told my children over the years, when they get in a real bad situation as adults, God can take lemons and make lemonade. I told one of my grandsons the other day, stop living in your past. Stop being defined by your past. We should never forget our past. I believe that. We need to remember where we came from, where we're here at today. Hopefully we don't repeat the same mistakes. Hopefully. And something else we need to remember, God loves us. And he loves us so much that he will chastise us when we get out of line, when we get away from him. And he does it out of his love. Is it suffering? Yes. Is it grievous? At times, yes. Is it necessary? Very much so. Sometimes trials come, and when I'm talking about trials, suffering, grief, anguish, all that comes upon us, and we have no idea. We get blindsided. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know why I'm having to go through this. Sometimes we're more honest. We can say, well, I did this. This is a result of what I chose to do. And you can choose to do things that God disagrees with, that dishonors him, that is downright sin. He can forgive you. Remember what happened to David? When he sinned with Bathsheba, God said, I've put your sin away. You're not going to die for that. But he said, David, there'll be a sword in your house for the rest of your life. And boy, there was. David suffered grief for the rest of his life for one moment of indiscretion. But he was still able to praise God in that psalm and say, the bones you have broken, let them rejoice. David said, God, your rod comforts me. No one likes to suffer. I don't like suffering. But Peter said, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. I like that. What do? You hump your shoulders, you put your head down, and you keep going forward. Peter said, keep doing good. Keep following God. Keep serving God. No matter what's going on around you. Don't quit. Don't throw your hands up and say, I've had it. I give up. I've seen people do that. I have talked to people over the years, you know, that said, well, I used to be a Christian, but I'm not anymore. I just couldn't take it. One good friend of mine that I used to party with after I got saved, he said, well, I'm glad you're a Christian. I tried that for a while, and I just couldn't do it. I said, I can't either, but Jesus Christ in me does. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make me live a Christian life. I don't agree with that kind of teaching. He leads me. He guides me. He teaches me the truth. He teaches me error. And sometimes he bends me over his knee and he paddles my spiritual behind until I listen. Would you stand with me this morning, please? I'm not trying to make light of any sufferings you might be going through. And I'm not going to do like Job's friends and say, well, if you're suffering, it's because God's mad at you and you got unbelief in your life. I'm just saying to you that life is a struggle and we are going to suffer until the day they lay us to rest or until the day the Lord comes. But Paul said, I consider the sufferings of this present world not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. Amen.